Hello listeners, you're welcome to another episode of The Barman's Barbecue. Here we examine sacred cows, we roast them and serve them as it is hot.
Hi there.
Hello ladies and gentlemen.
Gentlemen.
What up ladies and gentlemen? Okay, so Bella, what are we talking about today?
Well, I want to say it feels like talking about sin.
Okay, yeah, let's talk about sin. Sins of omission, commission.
And disposition. Really? I can't believe I prayed those prayers. Oh God, Jesus, help me. So, someone said something the other day that she posted something. And my friend was like, and to show sometimes I wonder, my friend was like, she wonders how Jesus feels when he hears some things. Do you ever wonder how Jesus feels? I wonder if he's laughing or if he's shaking his head or like, God help my people.
And maybe some, maybe a particular podcast we can do, what's his name? David Hayward's art. We'll just be discussing them one after the other.
One after the other, it makes sense.
Right, it reminds me of the one I posted about an atheist marrying, and so there was a picture of two couples. Right, one of them was an atheist together with a believer, like in marriage. Like, so the believer was like,
submit unto me.
A believing woman and an atheist man in marriage. So the believer was like, I never thought I would ever marry an atheist. And the atheist was like, I never thought I would fall in love with a believer. Then the other couple is one of two Christians, where the Christian man was telling that you must submit. So the question was not like, which of the two are unequally yoked?
Which was so weird, because the time that cartoon came out was the time that on Facebook we were complaining because someone, a renowned person, was writing, wrote this whole last post about how women should submit and not travel, because they travel, they will not be at home eating from their cousins and their mates, and it's not good for them. I just got headache all over again. But people were really revolting, but I saw it because it's 21st century.
Yeah, so some people came to my DM, friends, I love them. One of my guys was like, he's the one that's married to a fool.
I know that.
So the question is that which of these two couples is unequally yoked?
Okay, so I said because
the one that's married to a fool. That the atheist, of course, the atheist, according to a part of scripture that says that a fool has said in his heart, there's no God. Yeah, but I took.
I take my aim back.
Sorry.
But the other guy is also a fool.
Yeah, you can say that. My own opinion about that. I'll leave that alone. Back to what we're talking about.
You brought it up.
Okay, I should finish it there. Okay. Yeah, so I feel like, love, like this thing called love, no carry and play.
You know,
Bible says there now abides hope, faith, and love. The greatest is love. So where love reigns, whatever your faith is, it takes the back seat. You know, if there is love there, your faith.
But the problem is that a lot of people don't even know what love is.
Yeah,
they
exactly.
have a corrupt idea of what love is. I think of all the David Hayward's picture I posted that have caused Wala, it doesn't cause Wala, there's just one particular person that came to there and I blocked him. It's the one where somebody was pushing God inside the Bible and saying he must fit in.
Yeah.
Which is weird, because we've had that conversation before, because a lot of people are doing things that are not in the Bible. And it's God, and I agree it's God. So why do you take God and put him into a box?
Have we talked about the Bible? Okay, we talked about Bible reading.
Yeah,
but
about Bible itself. We should do it for
it. Yeah, so one of my favorite lines about the Bible is that the Bible is not the word of God.
Nope.
Jesus is the word of God.
Yes, and some people just keep arguing with me. But then it means that I'm like, oh my God.
And the Bible is not a member of the Godhead.
Nope.
You know, people worship Father, Son, and Holy Scripture.
I've been asking a lot of questions, because you know how they say that there are other Gospels, and then there are a lot of things Jesus did.
Okay.
And they can't all be compiled and put in one book.
Yeah.
And truly, there are other gospels. So my question is, who then decided what should be in this collection of the Bible?
Yeah, I feel like that's like a course in patristics. So learning about the early church fathers.
And I believe when it comes to storytelling, everybody has a
narrative.
So what was the narrative when you selectively put these books together?
Yeah, I feel like one of the narratives, underlying one, yeah, from the little I know, is that so talking about the Gnostic gospel.
Yeah.
So like, despite the attempt to take out the Gnostic gospels, I'm not pro Gnostic gospels anyway, but there is a lot of Gnosticism.
I'm not anti-it that way.
There's a lot of Gnosticism in our churches, right? Yeah, which is like spirit is good.
Flesh is
evil, right? Your spirit man is holy, but your flesh is evil.
That's why when I read the article of one researcher praying with Gnostics, I was like, hold on, is it the same Gnostic that I know of? Mm. Or at least, so then I went down and I saw that researchers talking about her, and I realized, oh, okay, they had both their good sides and their bad sides, like everything in life. So I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, so
another question I always asked was that Moses was the most humble, and I was like, how can somebody say this is the most humble person by himself and is humble?
Yeah.
Until you told me that they were written by different.
Yeah, I think we've done that. I talked about there's a podcast we recorded that about Genesis.
Yes,
yeah,
Genesis.
Yeah.
I'm so I've been having a lot of questions.
Yeah, so but then Jonathan Wilton's book Understanding the Whole Bible, he talked about why we have 66 books and why those 66 books. So, do you know why 66 books? I mean, so these are all theories, not necessarily...
One of the reasons I feel that these particular books were put together was to support a particular political agenda. That is one of the theories in my head.
Okay.
But why 66 books?
So, one interesting one, yeah. According to Welton, it's possible that it was drawn after the book of Isaiah. Right, so before now, the book of Isaiah had it was first Isaiah and second Isaiah. So first Isaiah was from Isaiah chapter 1 to Isaiah 39, right, which lines up with the Old Testament, right, and second Isaiah was from Isaiah 40 to 66, right, which lines up with the New Testament. And that is why Isaiah 40 starts with a voice of one crying in the wilderness. Right, and yeah, so that's an interesting one. Then the other one is there's a scripture in this psalm that says that thy word is a light unto my feet and a lamp unto my path. So the lamp in the temple, there's it's called the candelabra.
Yes, candelabras. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's how it it's meant to be designed, so with the different shapes, the almond, blah blah blah, and so according to Welton, if you count from the left to the middle, you have 39, and from the middle down is 27. So the lamp.
That's able to balance when it's not equal on both sides.
Yeah, I don't know the wisdom in it, but yeah. So in the book Understanding the Bible, Welton, then he said that too. When the emperor Diocletian. Right, he made so they're like, okay, which books are we going to put together to form canon of scripture? So there were some books that people were willing to die for.
So they chose those ones.
The ones that people were willing to die for. Those are the ones that they allowed to form the canon of scripture. Yeah, and so that people were laying down their lives for.
Another thing that made me concerned about the Bible is the way some people believe that this version. Like, my mother so strongly believed. One day I challenged the thought, and she was like, "Ah, be careful." I'm willing to raise it up again. Why is this the version? Because it's translated. It was clearly not originally written in Hebrew, in English.
Yeah.
So how am I sure that this one? Why is this person looking like the best? Why other people who also directly translated looking like they have? According to them, they say they have the satanist on their board.
Yeah, I remember that stuff against the NIV.
Yes,
where there are some scripture, for instance.
Some places are omitted.
Yeah,
turns out that King James added things.
Yeah.
You get, and the original scrolls, they have those things.
Like the Septuagint.
Mm.
The Septuagint was the Greek version of the Hebrew old scripture. Yeah. So the Greek, so Jesus read in Greek, not Hebrew.
I thought he read in, more.
Yeah, I think, yeah. So the Septuagint is kind of like, so it's argued that the Septuagint was the earliest translation of the way they translated the Hebrew scriptures to Greek. Anyway,
this is another thing that question maybe question the Bible again, but I can't remember. Yes, was how places contradict each other, but we try so hard to make it look like they are alive.
So much, and that's why.
Inside your spirit, you know that this thing and this thing they are not, but we're trying so hard to make it. No, this is what I'm like.
So okay. Love Pete Enns. Pete Enns was like, don't try to break your head defending the scripture.
No,
the Bible is not evil. The Bible is not designed to be defended.
Yes.
It's just in fact, like I was recently reading Chris Green. He's been saying that, you know, what if those questions you have in scripture, it's designed for you to have those questions.
Exactly.
I mean, if you see something you're not comfortable with, like let's say they are smashing kids on the rock.
Like God say kill them, kill them. In action movie now, if somebody kill the bad girl, like okay, if it happens, if children and the weapon, like, but it's not fair. But we excuse it. It's like we deliberately turn off our emotions and our reasoning when it comes to the Bible and things we see. I'm like, that was, and also that thing that we say God is same yesterday, today, forever. But when I see things in Old Testament, I say okay, He changed as Jesus came. That doesn't. It's not consistent with you saying God is a consistent person. So something, that's why I also have this theory that our interpretations are how we live life. And if something is not making sense, then I'm not going to blame it, and I'm not going to hold on to that thing. I'm going to question the interpretation we had of it. Like when we say Jesus paid our debt and our sins are forgiven. If you paid my debt, then there's, where does forgiveness come in? So it doesn't make sense. Are we not thinking these thoughts? So then those things are the ones that,
yeah, so we have derailed there, but I want to still talk about sin in this podcast.
And the last thing is that I take Bible as a collection of people's experiences of God. That's how I see it. Which means my experiences can be that or can be more than that. But nobody, I'm not going to have a Moses experience. A burning bush experience, because I'm not Moses. I'm not going to have a threshing field because I'm not Gideon. Thanks, dears.
No, but you may you may have those experiences in your encounter with people.
Yeah, some people may have them, but it's not like it's you must have this, is you must go through this burning bush part or whatever the hell does burning bush part mean.
No vex.
Jesus, I'm hoping for a buns and butter and Dubai experience.
Sin. So what about sin? So what is sin? Sin. Yeah, so like my favorite definition of sin is that sin is when the way of your being
is not in line,
does not match the truth of your being. Right. So when your thoughts about yourself and your neighbor and your environment is out of line with the truth of who you are or who your neighbor is or what creation is.
So I'm reading this book and it said original sin. Or I say it's when the first thought about a thing is in error, because we like to believe that all your beliefs or everything you think about life is based from a certain thought, and then it just keeps building. So when that your background thought, because the book says that your decisions are either sponsored by love or by fear. So for instance, now if you're listening now is born from fear, then everything after that that you believe on that thought, it's just going to be error, because the base, does this make sense? Because the base of the belief is not in line with the truth of your belief. So everything after that keeps it just going to be
a domino.
Domino effect. It can't be correct.
Yeah, so sin, like at its core, is when we believe a lie about ourselves. We believe and live a lie about ourselves, about God, and about our neighbor. So the fall of Adam is when Adam believe that God does not love him, or God was hiding something from him, or when he believed that he was not God. And I feel like, so that I am not is the root cause of sin, right? When I am not good, I am not
Not perfect. Not that I believe in perfection, but you know that we feel like it's humble to not be the best. To not be who God has called us. We just feel like I'm not too fine. There's how humans try to water down our who we are to make us look like it's humility, which is not humility.
We're just believing a lie. But I feel like so the atonement is Jesus coming to show us what we who we truly
are.
Right, and so we see the contrast who we have been, so that we can now, like, so that the way of our being can now match the truth of our being. And what's the truth of our being? We are made in the image and likeness of God, who is love, who is good, who is kind, and who has never been alone. God does not do alone. God has never been alone. And we are made in the image of God, who is a community, right? Of a relationship. So even we too, we are that way, you know? So so sin at its core is not that I stole meat. Those are all symptoms.
Yeah.
They are symptoms of first a lie that we've believed.
Because what's sponsoring that thought to steal meat? Because we don't have.
You know, so, but we dwell so much on the symptoms and stay away from the root cause, which is lies we've believed about ourselves and our neighbors. You know, and so many times our experiences, our theology, right, reinforce the lies we believe and kind of keep us lost.
Because those are, our interpretation is based from something that is not true in the first place. So,
no, and so, like, currently reading Crossroads again for the second time this year, you know, and so just seeing what hell is, that hell is living. And believing in the real when it's not the truth, right? So
in the real
when it's not the truth. So something can be real to you, but it's not the truth. Yeah, you can be suffering based on a lie that someone said. Yeah, it's you are really hurting deep down, but it's not real. But I feel like a prayer. It's for eyes to see. To see how God sees us. Baxter Kruger says that take sides with me. Against the way you see, God has said, take sides with me. Against the way we see that, and I like to say that if God, that God is for you, but are you for you?
True.
Yeah.
True.
So God is always for us, but the sad truth is that we are not always for us, and God will not forgive in the sense that God will never be against us, even when we choose to be against ourselves. So that's the unforgivingness of God. That God remains true even when we remain faithful. So if you like die and if you like wear jeans and go to hell. Talking about dramatic people.
Oh my God.
If you like eat titles and you want to go to hell, God is going to meet you there and eat your study with you. You must say that ascorbic acid.
Creepy. Oh my God.
If you like say amen instead of amen. You haven't seen that one.
No, I don't even watch it. I feel sorry. Like, I feel that they have malaria of the brain and they should take it to a psychiatric one.
Yeah, so, yeah, God is good all the time and all the time.
God is good. Yeah. So then, does that mean, how do you then know when you're living in sin? The truth of your being is not matching the inner of your being?
Yeah, I think part of the symptoms of sin is that I think that's why we have people around. They will tell us first there's people around. There is even the presence of the Holy Spirit within us, convicting us of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Basically, just reminding us that.
But some people hear the Holy Spirit is the voice of the doctrine and the lies they already believe.
No, but even in the midst of the doctrines and lies we believe, there's still the voice of God within that is relentless. That's relentless affection.
That reminds me, growing up, we used to believe as if we thought. To believe as if you know there's the voice of the devil that is stronger and more powerful, and then there's the Holy Spirit voice softly, gently telling you. And I also wonder why don't Holy Spirit increase his
tempo? Why did they shout?
Why don't you just devil shouting? The least you can do for me is to increase your volume. You know, like that. I'm sorry. You know that Kenneth Hagin was talking to Jesus. There was a demon making noise, and Jesus continued talking. I will not lie to you. That story also sits well with me, because my Jesus cannot. You cannot be talking now.
I think the other thing, right?
Information is going like that. You repeat it for any permission.
But yeah, I mean, Jesus is always within, in the road. But then the other thing is, and for me, my own take about the demonic, I've said it many times, is that now we the creator. Now we the
runner. I believe it.
You understand? So the demonic is a manifestation of our, of not just our lie, but our personal and corporate lie. So the lies we believe and the lies that environment tells us creates and sustains the demonic. So Jesus comes to, again, show us the truth, which sets us free. To also,
do you feel that sometimes some people choose to believe the lie because the truth is too good and it's too...
Yeah, the truth is fierce. The truth is fire. The truth is
Embracing it means...
Yeah, you lose things.
Yes.
Yeah, you lose the security.
Or you gain things that.
So that initial hurt that will come by facing the truth, that's what we try to run from.
Or the possibilities that are going to come with it. Like, I was asking someone that, don't you have questions outside of what you are taught in church? Don't you ensure that, oh yeah, she does, but that she's concerned that when she starts, one question will come, and she doesn't want that because she's going to keep thinking. And I'm like, is that not how life is meant to be lived?
It reminds me of a picture by David Hayward where of someone giving God a question.
Yeah, question mark, then
God,
I like that.
God took his question and gave him a bigger question. Right, so
I feel like that is what life is about, asking questions, discovering, creating.
Yeah, and I think just like say that a question is an invitation to relationship.
Yeah, I feel like you said that. Well.
Yeah,
hey.
So I feel like so God always, in fact, I think I have this that what if God is not the answer? It's not just the answer to our questions, but also
question
the question
to our
answers.
Hey.
So when we feel like we've got it all figured out, God will say, oh, have you got it all figured out? Have you considered myself
anybody.
A Job?
I don't think there's anybody that's got it all figured out.
Yeah. So I feel like, and then I was reading a book by I was reading something about the tree of life. Doctor always talk about the tree of life.
Mm.
And then, so part of one of the elements of the tree of life is knowledge. I think the Hebrew term for knowledge is that. But the point I'm making is that D-A-A-T. But then the point I'm making from this is that knowledge is a bottomless pit, according to the Hebrew tradition.
Mm.
Right? It's unending. You know, the finish. Like, you cannot go to the end. Like, you know, you always keep digging. Yeah. So, yeah. So, sin is when the way of your being does not match the truth of your being. And
I also want to put it out there that you people should not make people who ask questions feel bad. Thanks and God bless.
Yeah. So, and if you don't know, just say you don't know.
Yeah. Yes.
Also,
we can discover together.
Yeah.
And don't try to make the other person feel like they are the demonic spirits for asking questions.
So
remain blessed. Yes.
Yeah. Remain rapturable. Maranatha. Calvary greetings.
And do not forget your face love. Screaming!
Alright, bye.
Alright, I hope you enjoyed today's barbecue. For your questions, send a DM on Instagram or Twitter at Dubams @DUBAMS. See you next time. Bye now.